Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. And we are so proud to be delivering these original interviews with Atlanta's business leaders, and we could not be doing it without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. So please support them so we can continue to share these important stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us Matt Johnson, and he is with Johnson Venture Partners. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to talking.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Johnson Venture Partners. How are you serving folks?
JVP is a what's called a micro venture capital fund, which may be a term that some of your listeners are familiar with, but some might not be. And so what that really means is we make venture capital investments, but we do it through a smaller vehicle. So it is a professionally managed VC fund, but it's smaller than what people might typically think of with larger, you know, multi-hundred million or billion dollar funds. We make small angel style investments in seed and early stage businesses, primarily in that are located in the Southeast geography in the U.S.
So now, so what's the difference from micro to more conventional? Is it just the amount of investment?
So typically, the definition of a micro fund would be sub 100 million in assets under management. So you're typically writing smaller check sizes, lower initial investment size, but spreading it out across more deals. So we like to stay very active and do a lot of early stage deals, but just coming in at a lower initial investment size. One differentiation I would like to point out is, you know, the difference between angel investing and venture capital. Angel investing meaning someone's writing, they're investing their own personal cash or their personal money, as opposed to a fund, which is managed by an investment professional and takes in capital from a number of investors called limited partners and invests out of the fund. So think of it as angel investing, individual money, venture capital, professionally managed other people's money.
And then when you come in as a micro, are you kind of the lead investor, or are you one of several different VCs that are investing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we like to syndicate. So we will join forces with other venture firms, other angel investors, and come in as part of a larger funding round and band together with other investors. So it helps share the burden of due diligence, and you know, we can write larger checks and invest larger amounts of capital and do it all under the same terms. And so in many times it's cleaner for the entrepreneur who's raising the funding, and it helps the investors become a unified front, you know, as we push forward and do the deal.
Now, is your role in this group the one that's kind of finding the opportunities, or do other people find it and then they ask you to kind of climb on board?
We source all of our opportunities. Most of them are referral-based. So other investors that we've worked with in the past will send us opportunities. Other entrepreneurs that we've invested in the past will refer opportunities to us and say, you know, hey, Matt, you should take a look at this. It looks promising. And then we source opportunities from angel networks, you know, venture conferences and investor forums, technology expos, research universities that are commercializing technologies. And so a range of deal flow sourcing. But yes, I'm responsible for that, really the end-to-end. So finding the opportunities, screening them, conducting the due diligence, negotiating terms, and then ultimately executing a transaction joining the deal.
Now,
and then of course, post investment monitoring as well. So after the check is written, you know, the work really begins. So So supporting portfolio company management teams, participating as a shareholder and attending meetings and exercising rights as a shareholder, just generally monitoring investments after they're made.
Now, does your firm specialize in certain industries, or are you industry agnostic?
We are agnostic, so I'm a generalist in a world that is increasingly specialized. I just felt like I did not want to limit the opportunities to a specific sector or industry. So it is a broad approach. We're diversified by industry, and it ranges from primarily software and technology and tech-enabled businesses to product-based and manufacturing, materials, medical device. We have some media and communications and some consumer products. So it's a broad-based portfolio, and we think diversification is a key driver of success.
So now, how has this pandemic impacted your business, or has it?
I'm seeing in the first quarter, you know, towards the end, we saw the impact of the pandemic start to emerge. It's having an impact within our portfolio that's a little bit slow developing, meaning I don't think too many of our investments in our portfolio companies, I don't think management teams have a clear picture of how this is ultimately going to impact them. I think that could be said for most of our economy, but some of our companies have made pivots and are taking advantage of opportunities that normally would not have emerged without this situation having occurred. So performing, for example, one of our companies is performing temperature screenings and is doing testing, you know, in where there's large gatherings, meaning primarily an example would be a large construction site where, you know, people have to continue working. So we're doing testing on the ground, the field level. And then others, another example would be an artificial intelligence company called Nusai that has developed a call simulator for 911 operators for training. So you see these little niche-type businesses are really finding their place in the world with their products and services during a time like this. You know, others, of course, it's having a negative impact. You know, some are having difficulty getting critical resources like supplies or ingredients that they need materials to create their product or deliver their service. And then others are, at a complete standstill and just holding out, trying to take advantage of CARES Act opportunities and continuing to approach their investors for support. And I think VCs are going to continue to support. It might take a little longer to get through with this sort of what I would call a renewed due diligence period. So we're going to take a very cautious approach, but I want to stay active. And in fact, I just updated my LPs with that as our plan. So we're going to forge ahead. We're going to stay active. We're going to continue doing deals, although it might be at a lower initial check size or a lower follow-on amount. But we want to continue to do new deals and support new companies, but we also want to make sure we're taking care of our existing portfolio companies. And I think that's a view that is shared by a lot of venture investors right now.
Now, part of the reason companies partner with venture capital firms is because they want smart money. They don't just want money. How have you been counseling and supporting your businesses that you have in your portfolio right now? Because that's part of why they're taking your money, right? Is they're trying to get that kind of insights and the network and your wisdom.
That's correct. And being a smaller fund and relatively smaller investor, we don't lead that many deals. So the lead investor in the funding round will typically take on more responsibility than say we do. We're a little more passive, but we're not afraid to roll up the sleeves and get involved and help out when we have to and want to. So during the COVID pandemic, the advice has been, let's trim our burn rates. You know, let's get really lean. Let's conserve capital, conserve cash. Let's extend runway. Let's be very calculated and deliberate in any risk that we take on. I think there's a shift towards sustainability and profitability as opposed to hyper aggressive growth at all costs. You know, this is not a market or a time to do that. So just a little more conservative, I guess, would be the a general way of looking at it, while continuing to serve our companies as, you know, as they need. So it's really just advisory, coaching, trying to make connections with customers, other potential investors, key advisors, industry expertise, subject matter expertise, just a holistic approach of, hey, this is all about teamwork right now and helping one another get through this, coming out stronger as a result.
Now, I would imagine that the folks in the VC business, there's maybe not a lot, but there's definitely several people in that world, the investment world, that are maybe older and more senior. Has this pandemic and the timeline of recovery of this pandemic, have you seen anybody saying, you know what, it's time for me to pack this in, I think I'm going to call it here, this is a younger person's game? Are you seeing any kind of attrition in terms of maybe some of the senior investment folks saying, okay, this is a sign, I'm out?
That's a really interesting and complex question, and I'll try to answer it briefly. I think in any downturn, whether it's triggered by a crisis or some other underlying economic event, in any downturn, you're going to have certain investors head for the exits. And it may be a result of aging out. It may be a result of fear and uncertainty. There's a host of reasons that could be attributed to. But in any downturn, in any market correction or reversal, you see a certain class head for the exits. I've always believed in staying the course. And if you are a experienced and disciplined investor and you believe in your thesis, then you will stay active and stay in the market. Now, with that said, venture capital, private equity, hedge funds, alternative asset classes, for my LPs at least, tend to make up a very small portion of their aggregate portfolio. So stocks, bonds, cash, real estate, savings, other, you know, retirement accounts, other assets. My fund makes up a very small percentage of their portfolio. So it's a, you know, it's an educated bet. It's a calculated risk, and it's not betting the farm, as they say. And so I think that affords a lot of investors in this asset class to stay on the field and not rush to the sidelines. And I hope that is, I hope we see that now, because venture was really having its moment prior to this. Record setting levels of deal volume and deal values, you know, just a steady rise and the broadening out of the asset class, you know, making its way to the mainstream, more and more participants coming into the capital markets and taking risk and funding startups and funding innovation, you know, and assets or capital pouring into private equity, venture capital, and other alternatives. So, you know, I want to see that continue at a healthy pace. You know, a correction can be good. It may be well-timed. So this is the way that I view it. I don't know if everyone in the industry shares my sentiment, but that is how I'm approaching this as a fund manager, just having a good understanding of my LP base and what I think their desires are and their goals are for an investment like this.
So now it sounds like you guys are open for business and you're looking for opportunities. Maybe the timelines of exit have shifted slightly because of this, and you're kind of building that into your modeling. But you're definitely, it sounds like you're bullish and you want to grow maybe more cautiously today, but still you're looking for growth and you're looking for opportunities.
So our fund is structured a little differently in that it's evergreen. So it has an unlimited fund life. I was purposeful in my design of the fund structure. So we're not limited by a term of years like you would typically see in a traditional fund model. So 7, 10, 12, 15 years. This is open-ended and evergreen, so it's ongoing. What that means is we can hold companies. Our holding periods can be much longer. We don't have to enforce any arbitrary time constraint on these entrepreneurs and founders who are trying to create breakthrough innovations and create new markets and build great companies. I think it takes a very long time to do that. So yes, we are open for business, looking for opportunities on both sides, you know, on both sides of this two-sided market from an LP standpoint and from looking at new startups and continuing to do deals. And, you know, it's just a way that I thought would differentiate our approach from some of the other players in the industry, in that it would align our interests more so with the companies that we're investing in. Entrepreneurs looking to grow their companies sustainably, create real value over the long term. So I would take a long term view, and I thought that the way that this fund was set up would allow us to continue on that approach.
So now, if somebody wanted to learn more, have more substantive conversation, what's the website?
Website is jvpfund.com, www.jvpfund.com. I'm also pretty active on LinkedIn. You can find me there. We have a contact section on our website, so it's really the best way.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today, Matt.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for the time.
All right, this is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, we could not be doing this work without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. So please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.